Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Aquila Fitness Podcast. We're on episode 25, and this week we're going to talk about how to jump higher. So last week we talked about how to improve your pull-ups. This week we're going to talk about how to improve your vertical leap. So me and Randall will talk about our different approaches to it. They probably will be a little similar, but how we would do it to train someone who wants to increase their vertical jump, whether that be for baseball or basketball or football, whatever. An athlete that wants to improve the vertical leap. So, Randall, how about you start with your approach? What you would do?
So I think what
kind of see what their base
level is at. Kind of maybe analyze their technique. Kind of see, get a gauge of their strength levels. So we'll probably just do a general assessment. And then for me, I would probably make sure they have at least a solid technique. Doesn't have to be a perfect technique, because as we work with them over the next 3 to 6 months, the technique will just start to improve. But as long as there's nothing in the right at you right away, I think I don't have to spend too much time on technique right away. So I like to like kind of break it up in different parts. So this is going to get a little technical, but so for me, you know, when it comes to vertical training, I like to kind of do it in different parts. So first part I would generally do is kind of break it up from the isometric, eccentric, and concentric. So like there's all these different variables, so I like to kind of focus on one at a time, and from improving on their strength level and then kind of doing plyometrics while we do it. So what I've been trying to try recently is, so we would first focus on isometrics. So we would basically do exercises that kind of highlight that, whether it's like when you do a squat, you kind of sit at the bottom of the hole for a little bit. So that's like your isometric hold at the bottom. Or when you do any sort of, maybe you do a calf raise, you hold the top for a little while. Or maybe if we're working on some on a machine, even if it's like something as simple as leg extensions and hamstring curls on a machine, we just emphasize those pauses for a while. So it's generally just kind of building a good base level of strength and endurance for the ligaments and all that, just because it's going to be a lot of high impact stuff. So I just want to make sure their joints are going to be prepared for it, and a lot of good ways to prepare joints and ligaments for any high level of stress is to kind of put them through isometrics. So along with that, then I'll start doing eccentric. So a lot of people like to focus on like just jumping through the roof, exploding, going really fast. But to go really fast and jump really high, you kind of have to slow things down too. The way you decelerate, the way you land on your jump is just as important as jumping, because if you're not able to land or decelerate, you're just going to end up leading to injury, and you're just going to overwork your muscles and cause extra stress that you don't need to. So I like to prepare them to kind of handle those loads before we even get into the nice explosive stuff. So that's like a couple weeks on each of those. But then for the good nitty gritty, then we start to focus on starting to put as much weight on the bar as we can, from your deadlift to your squat, hex bar, deadlift, whatever the exercise is. And then we start to try. So I think the main thing when it comes to those movements, like the intent of the movement. So when you're doing strength training, you're trying to move that bar as fast as you can. You're not just trying to lift the heaviest weight you can. Your goal should be to lift as heavy as you can, but also move that bar as fast as you can, which will translate to the vertical jump. And then along this whole time, when we're doing all these three different phases of mine, we're doing plyometrics here and there consistently throughout. We're just kind of managing the amount you do. We're trying to replicate the kind of plyometric we choose to the exercises that we're doing. So if we're focusing on the eccentric part, like the deceleration and slowing down and absorption of force, then we're going to be focusing on plyometrics that do the same thing, maybe like a death jump, where you're trying to land, control that jump, and then jump up, not just exploding through. Or we're going alternating bounds where you want to really land and control that landing before you jump, kind of stuff like that. So we're kind of putting the strength training and the plyometrics in along the same page. Once we get through that, I kind of like to deload them now here and there. So then by the end of our training cycle, I could really see the improvement they made. So that's like the gist of it. That was a long gist, but how about you, Matt?
That was really, the detail was great. And I agree. So I think with beginners, like you said, you don't want to, when people start, they don't want to get hurt, because if you go super high intensity, high impact, you might hurt your joints and ligaments, like maybe roll your ankle or dislocate a knee even. That could happen as well. So I think I would, how I would approach it would analyze, like, what's their beginner with training overall? Like, do they work out at all? Are they, like, actually a seasoned athlete? Or are they just, like, kind of in the middle? They kind of train for, like, maybe 6 months to a year or something. So I think it's kind of like lifting, where if you train specifically for vertical leap or for the vertical jump for, say, 6 months, a beginner will see a bigger increase than a seasoned athlete who is already has a pretty good vertical leap, but just wants to improve it some more. So, so the beginner would have exponentially better growth than the athlete. So in 6 months, you could see like an 8 to 10 inch growth for a beginner. And then for an advanced athlete, you probably add 4 more inches to his vertical leap, which is still pretty good. So I think, so to increase vertical jump, one must increase the strength and velocity. So I think determining athletic success has many factors, and a very important one is displaying high levels of explosive power. So training to increase vertical jumps include the plyometrics, like you said, and that consists of quick and explosive movements designed to increase speed and power. So athletes need to increase the strength of their tendons to reduce injury. Like we said before, people are very injury prone when this doing high impact stuff. So you got to be careful. So doing drills on how to jump higher would maximize the muscle contractions by strengthening the fast twitch muscle fibers, which brings the explosive movements. That's how you run faster and jump high and can cut really fast. So you need to strengthen those fast twitch muscle fibers with, I would do a lot of plyometrics and strengthening. So I think I would do a lot of box jumps, calf raises, deadlifts, and a lot of different various plyometrics, like single leg bounds, you know, when you're jumping forward on one foot, kind of lateral skater jumps, broad jump, and a lot of med ball tosses too. I think that is a great plyometric to help increase the explosiveness of your muscles. Or single leg broad box jumps too. Those are really good. Have you heard of any of these before? Like, have you used those bands where a loud band work where you explode up with resistance and tension? Or have you done that before?
Yeah, there's a machine or a product called a Vertimax where basically you like wear a harness or a belt. You got resistant bands that are strapped to it, and you're kind of just jumping, trying to resist that resistance. But you could also do it manually, where people I've seen tied kind of resistance band around a squat rack and kind of wrapped around their shoulders and mimic that as well.
Yeah, I have seen that too, and I never done it before, but I always wanted to try it. I think that piece of equipment would definitely help an athlete who wants to increase the vertical jump. Just like the constant jumping, like doing jump squats with that resistance with the bands would be a killer workout, and just really improve those fast twitch muscle fibers and strength overall. So example for a drill I would use for that would be like do 20 to 30 jump squats with that, and then do 20 to 30 jump squats without it, and you can see how the difference is. You'll feel lighter and stronger as you progress through the workout. Of course, you'll be fatigued, very much fatigued, but if you continue to do those types of drills, you will see like a big jump in your vertical leap growth.
So how often for you personally would you and the strengthening training would you kind of suggest people do per week?
I'd say you shouldn't do it every single day. And that's like 7 days a week. That's a bit too much of like just plyometrics and strength. You should have a rest day. Like we emphasize having a rest day or an active rest day. So I think you do a lot of strength training, the lower body strength training, like 3 times a week, and then plyometrics the rest of the time. A lot of sprints as well.
Sprint. Favorite things, yeah.
Yeah, sprint, like gassers, stuff like that. We don't want to overdo it, though. So you got to be careful how – maybe, like, train for, like, 1 hour strength training, then 30 minutes to 45 minutes of plyometrics. Or just do a straight strength training day where you do, like, 90 minutes of, like, the machines at the gym and deadlifts and squats. You do one day's heavy, another day's for volume, that kind of thing. Then different plyometrics the next day. I have never made a program for vertical leap training, so I would have to do more sort of research about what the schedule is, the best kind of schedule for somebody. But in my head, off the top of my head, I think I would start off with.
Yeah.
How about you, Bill?
I probably would. So I'd probably suggest maybe, like you said, I like to do a lot of light plyometrics, so maybe a total of maybe 5 days in the week, they're probably going to be doing some form of plyometrics, but probably three or four of the 5 days are probably just lighter kinds. This is just a kind of one of the most important parts of jumping higher or being athletic, more athletic in general, is like the elasticity in our ligaments and our muscles and our tendons. So by like always kind of being bouncy on our feet, trying to kind of, even if you're not jumping high, you're creating that like springy action in those tendons and your muscles. You're kind of like getting them accustomed to contract and relax, contract. So whenever you do want to apply as much force as you can, those muscles will be primed to kind of activate a lot faster, spring you off the ground a lot more once you apply more force. So I like to consistently apply plyometrics consistently in a week, but then probably do leg strength training twice a week, maybe three, depending on the athlete. So that's like another topic that, or a high level topic that's kind of important to vertical training, is kind of each different athlete's gonna kind of need a different kind of stimulus, or they're gonna react to training a little different from the other because of whether it's their daily routines, whether it's their genetics, whether it's their past history from training or any previous injuries they've had. That what you're gonna prescribe to them is gonna almost be individual for a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes can follow the same program and get a lot of the same results, but doesn't mean that there isn't changes that can be made to make it even better for that one individual athlete.
Yeah, you got to tweak things too. If you see them improving super fast, and like make the workouts harder. Maybe if they're like a beginner, like if they're like a straight beginner, like maybe like going into high school and they haven't really trained that much except for playing basketball here and there. They want to dunk. A lot of kids want to dunk. Well, first, if you aren't tall enough to dunk, and there's not many people that are 5'9 or 5'8 that can dunk, that would be like maybe Nate Robinson. You know Nate Robinson, like, yeah. He can dunk. And I'm like 5'8 and a half, and I can't dunk. and even if I did train, do strength training and plyometrics all the time, I don't think I can still dunk. I can probably do a lot better. I can probably like grab rim pretty easily and get up there and block some shots maybe, but there's no way I can dunk. So genetics plays a part. And a beginner, I don't think if you're a beginner, you shouldn't be training 6 days a week initially, because you get burnt out super fast. You'd be super sore, but you'll get into it. Once you start going in a couple weeks, then you can actually maintain that rigorous workout routine and then you'll see growth pretty quickly.
Yeah, so what are some of we named some of the exercises we like to do. So let's focus on strengthening. So name like three of your favorite, and then if your burpee can overlap, so I'll try to think of three different ones that I like to use that strictly for strengthening.
The strength training the lower body. I'd say number one, body or deadlift for first, and body squats, not body squats, just regular squats. And I would put front squats in there too, because those are super hard. I always thought they were hard, but like I could always do way more back squat than a front squat. But I think it's a really good exercise for strengthening, especially if someone wants to increase their vertical leap. How about you?
So I'll say deadlift as well, but then I'll just say hex bar deadlift, just because I think that's for a lot of people, that's going to be easier for them to kind of pick up and perform properly, because the deadlift isn't the most technical exercise, but it's relatively technical just because of the amount of danger it could cause your body if you do it incorrectly. So usually people pick up on the hex bar pretty fast, and it could be pretty angle specific as far as you could like mimic the position you would be in before you jump a little bit better than you would be on a regular deadlift bar. But not many gyms just have a hex bar laying around, so that's why deadlift's usually more accessible for a lot of more people.
Yeah, the hex bar, that's a great point. Because when I first started deadlifting, the hex bar was what we used. Now it's a really good beginner bar. But like you said, not a lot of gyms carry it. But if you do have access to one, it'd be like that's a good exercise, like slap on like some weight on there, and then you can do jumps with that too. Not like crazy jumps, but...
And you're even able to, for I think everybody that whatever you're able to deadlift on a regular barbell, you could probably most likely deadlift more on a hex bar just because it's a little higher off the ground and whatnot, mm-hmm. and your center of gravity more advantageous to you.
Yeah, it definitely can. I think I remember doing. I could do more on a hex bar, but. Yeah, I'd be careful with the form, because I know kids have hurt themselves doing that, like putting like 400 pounds in the hex bar, because they can do it, but they're really hurting their back. Like they're not good form. So the form, of course, you're going to be with a trainer while you would do that. So, but if you do it by yourself, that'd be super important, super careful.
And I guess the other exercises I would probably like to include on not everyone's a program, but if I had to choose, Olympic weightlifting has been shown to translate very well. The only challenge of it, especially like power cleans, hang cleans, whatever the case may be, is that it's a very complicated lift to learn. And there's a lot of technical variables to it. So if you're not performing it well or doing it as technical as you could, you're not really getting the benefits out of it. But if you were able to perform it well, the translation... Because for Olympic weightlifting, it's essentially the same thing as vertical jump. It relies heavily on power. You don't necessarily have to be strong or just strong or fast. You need to be both strong or fast to perform those lifts, which do translate also into the vertical jump. The only problem is it's difficult to learn Olympic weightlifting just because you're throwing a bar in midair and catching it and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super hard. Especially if someone just wants to, like, if they just play basketball, they probably won't want to do that. But cleans would be good, though, starting with cleans.
And I guess lunges would be probably my last, just loaded mm-hmm. lunges or even a split squat of some variation.
Yeah.
Just so you could take care of any imbalance someone may have, whether it's one leg is stronger than the other or you just got mobility issues. Usually lunging and split squats are able to help you take care of that. So those are my three. How about when it comes to plyometrics, and if it doesn't like have a specific name, we'll mm-hmm. just try to use our imaginations to describe it.
I said a couple when I said like a few examples when I was describing my approach, but I think definitely number one would be box jumps. Those are really good. I'm sure everyone's seen people jump on a box. You can start out low, and once you master the first level, you can add another level to that box and just keep progressing, like working on the explosivity and the muscle twitch fibers, the fast twitch muscle fibers, and broad jump as well. Even though it's kind of like a track thing, but I think broad jump really can increase your muscle, increase your explosivity as well. I haven't done one of those in a while. Have you ever tried those before, like in middle school or something?
I tried, not very good at it, but yeah.
I remember doing them, and they're fun. I think that's a really great drill to do. And another plyometric probably be maybe like jump squats, or like the Vertimax jump squat. I think that be
okay.
The most advantageous for sure.
I think for me, box jump is always a good one, but maybe I just throw variation just to be a little different. Do a depth jump, so essentially drop down from a one box, a pretty low box, and then jump up to a higher box or something like that. Bounding, going side to side, those lateral bounds are always good for force absorption and then production of force. And then what? I guess I'll go sprints. We'll just throw sprints in there. I feel like whatever activity where you could go 100% effort is probably going to be as you're going to reap the benefits a lot more. And for a lot of people, they don't know how to jump at 100% all the time. They're trying to, but because it's so technical, they're not every jump you're reaching the same height.
Yeah.
But when it comes to running, I feel like a lot of people could consistently get to the same speed every time just because everyone runs consistently throughout their life. We all know, just pump your arms as fast as you can, move your legs as fast as you can, and you're going to get to your top speed eventually.
Yeah, I like that. Given 100%. I'm sure you can reach a goal for how many sprints you can do, or uphill sprints as well. Parachute sprints, if you have access to a parachute, it helps you get faster for sure.
All right, I think we covered a big chunk of it. Do you have anything else to add for today?
I don't think so. We got a lot of things covered. Mentioned a lot of exercises you could do to increase your vertical jump.
All right. What do you think we should cover next week? Any ideas off the top of your head? We'll talk about later.
Maybe. I'm not really sure, honestly.
All right. Me and Matt will talk about it later. So until then, stay tuned for next week, where we're going to come back with another how to improve or how to do something better next week.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.